Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live. It is Friday, the 9th day of September, 2011. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours live. Then, of course, we'll be back tonight, 7 p.m. Central, with InfoWars Nightly News. Obviously, we have a lot of important news and information in front of us today. We have Bob Chapman with his Friday visit. But I would like to throw a question out to the audience. You can then bring up any other subject you'd like, but I would like you to comment on how America's changed in the last 10 years, how the world has changed, all the new wars, all the torture, the secret arrest, the police state, the TSA, trampling our rights and trying to condition the public to accept abject dehumanization and humiliation. I'd like to hear from you today and get your view on 9/11 truth, your view of what really happened on 9/11. I mean, even if you believe the official story that some guys in a cave carried all this out and Building 7 fell on its own, even though the government announced they blew it up and then changed their story, do you like how 9/11's been used to take your liberties? Do you like the rebranding now off of Al-Qaeda onto good old boys? Anybody wearing a baseball cap who talks about freedom? Do you see what's staring you right in the face? In fact, I'd like to hear from mainline, what you'd call kind of conservative-oid people who like Rick Perry, like Mitt Romney, who will defend the fact that they support socialist government care and carbon taxes. I mean, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from Obama supporters. I mean, I'd like to hear from people who think I'm wrong about the way I see the world. Generally, nobody can really disagree with anything with facts. They can say tinfoil hat or conspiracy theorist or use the Cass Sunstein attack pattern and say, you're bad, you work for the government. Well, let's just say I do. I don't. I am trying to get people just to think for themselves. That's the last thing the globalists want. I want to restore the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Last thing the globalists want, you judge a tree by its fruits. But regardless, let's just say I'm bad. Let's move on to what are you going to do about what's happening? Who are you waking up today? Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll get you up and on the air. And I do intend to take a lot of calls, and I will not fail. I'm going to take at least 100 phone calls today here on air. So John Harmon better get ready to be very, very busy today. 800-259-9231. But that means you've got to make your point quickly, and then I've got to make a quick comment and then move on to the next person. And it's going to happen. I'm not going to say I'm going to try. It's going to happen. Your phone call's coming up. 800-259-9231. There was, of course, a really big event yesterday that didn't get much attention. I saw it on InfoWars.com. I saw it in the Associated Press. I saw it at Drudge Report. But I did not see it on the nightly news. I did not hear about it on talk radio. Today it's getting a bit more attention, but longshoremen storm Washington State port, damage railroad. And when you actually read the article, they took hostages. They sabotaged equipment. There's two ways to look at this. These are 1776 Tea Party type people going on the British ships and dumping the tea in the harbor. You can look at it from that perspective. Or you can look at it from the perspective of they're terrorists. That would be the common government view, the way they frame peaceful demonstrations like terrorism now. Or then there's another perspective. And I'll tell you about that other perspective when we come back. Get into the rest of the news, your phone calls, big show lined up. It's Friday, September 9th, 2011. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Last night there was a picture came out last night, yeah. And it's on the internet this morning, and it's a picture of myself with I think the governor of Texas or something. That's right, we had several governors up there. It was the governor of Texas, and the truth is that I had never met him before. And some of the people in the media sort of think, I don't believe you. How could that be true? He's your governor, and you've both been in business, political business for a long time. And it's true, we've never crossed paths. So last night we did. And the picture, of course, if you haven't seen it, is Barry is looking straight at me, and he has his hand on my arm like he's not going to let me move, and he's doing this to me. Everybody, my kids including, have been writing to me, what was he saying to you? So this morning we had a call from the Des Moines Register. What was he saying to you? And I said, well, I'll tell you what. What he was saying to me, I cannot repeat. And she said, what? So I said, I'm just kidding. That doesn't matter. It'll be on the internet saying, it was so bad, couldn't repeat it. What he was saying to me. But the truth is, I wish it were a much more interesting story than that, because I don't even recall the moment that was occurring, and I don't remember exactly what he said, and we didn't have any crosswords, so I'm sorry about that. The most challenging words were said on the stage when not only I, but others called him on some of the programs in Texas, and it's
okay, so there is what Ron Paul had to say about Rick Perry coming up and grabbing his arm and wagging his finger in his face, taking the high road, saying he doesn't recall what Perry said to him. So there you have it, but you can certainly see that Rick Perry is scared of Ron Paul and is scared of Ron Paul pointing out the Hillary Clinton and Al Gore affiliations. It's one thing to support Al Gore and be the head of his campaign in Texas in 1988, and then to switch to Republican in 1990, but leopards don't change their spots easily. 1993 and 94, energetically giving speeches and writing letters and supporting national government-run single-payer health care. And the issue here is he isn't a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's not a socialist. He's not a communist. He's not a fascist. He's not a Zoroaster. He's not a Christian. He is a political chameleon who will do whatever it takes to get power. Very interesting. I talked to a good longtime friend who's a prominent businessman here in Austin, and I'm not going to say his name, even though he was like, no, don't say it. And he said, well, yeah, you can say it. Last night I went to dinner with, but I'm not going to say the name. But he knows Rick Perry very well. I didn't know this. And he said basically that Rick is a very competitive climber and basically just wants to be president and to dominate. And that's what I've gotten. I've run into Perry a few times. And he's even been on the show before to call me a big, fat, ugly, sweaty hog. And I'm still trying to dig that audio up. A lot of you heard it. For some reason, it was 4 years ago. We can't find it anywhere. But anybody can find Rick Perry on Alex Jones Show and email it to us. That'd be greatly appreciated. We'd play that. My crew, all of them tried and failed. I tried and failed to find it again a few weeks ago. But the issue is that I was told by this businessman that Rick Perry would give him anti-New World Order books in 1998-99, when he was still agriculture commissioner and about to run for governor, that Rick Perry would give him anti-globalist, anti-New World Order books, and that they would work out together at the country club. You know, I'm not going to get into too much more of the story, but Rick Perry. And, of course, this person is known to folks on the show, but I'll just leave it at that. And if he ever wants to tell the story on air, then he's welcome to. He told me more about Perry. It was nothing really bombshell, but just that. I'm just going to shut up right there. Rick Perry giving him anti-New World Order books. That's what's so bad about Rick Perry. That's why he told a Fox News individual, well known to everyone, almost a year and a half ago at a Tea Party event in Dallas, that he got him in the green room and said, there's two people I'm afraid of. He said three at the time. He said Ron Paul, Alex Jones, and this governor's race, Deborah Medina. But he said, I'm scared of Ron Paul and Alex Jones. Those are the two main ones. And then added the other as a caveat. He's afraid of people that know who he is. Rick Perry knows all this stuff. I was talking to my friend, and he said we would have long discussions about it. Rick Perry's giving people anti-New World Order books, and then he's running around trying to give forced inoculations, going to Bilderberg group meetings, trying to hand over 8,000 miles of Texas roads to the globalists, Texas power companies. This is a guy like Alan Greenspan. You don't have to hear this as some story with a radio talk show host telling you about how, a friend told me this about Rick Perry. This Alan Greenspan wrote essays, published news articles, what in the Wall Street Journal and places. Harry Brown, one of the first libertarian books I read in high school, had a giant chapter. I'd say about a third of the book. What is it? I forget which. It's a compilation. In fact, guys, search it for me. Alan Greenspan's Anti-Federal Reserve Writings in Harry Brown's book, or Alan Greenspan Writings in Harry Brown book. Brown put out a compilation book of like five or six people and himself. But the point is, it sounds like Ron Paul. See, Ron Paul got all the offers to join the establishment. He was sent to Congress. He got in as a libertarian. One of the only ever elected as a libertarian. That's a big deal. Ron Paul knew Greenspan. Ron Paul was in the late 70s running with this whole crew. And he didn't sell out. But Alan Greenspan sold out. And then in later date, Ronald Reagan. I know people that know Ronald Reagan. In fact, I've interviewed famous people that knew Ronald Reagan. He was handing out John Birch Society literature. Ronald Reagan was running around talking about the New World Order. He had been a communist, that's on record, woke up, became more of a Republican, conservative, and then, as a governor, literally sat around at his ranch talking about the New World Order and the elites. And then in speeches, actually, we have clips of this in Jason Burmese's film, Invisible Empire, George Herbert Walker Bush running against Reagan, having to respond to the Trilateral Commission world government stuff. And George Herbert Walker laughing at Reagan. So, I mean, they're all just humans. And, you know, a lot of this is you get in a powerful position, you have enemies, and the only way you can beat your enemies is by joining the dark side. Or that's what they see. They're like, I'm tired of it. I'm a better man than these guys. I'm smarter. I'm going to beat them by compromising a little bit. And then the minute you start compromising, it's like the Ring of Doom in Lord of the Rings. You know, when the hobbits try to give it to Gandalf, and you can defeat any enemy with it, and Gandalf says, no, do not offer that to me. I would try to use that for good, and it cannot be. You cannot use the Ring of Power. You cannot try to use evil to then do good. The minute you start down that road, oh, it works at first. Works very well. But in the end, it will destroy you. But just to hear about Rick Perry constantly talking about the New World Order and globalism and things. And to know that he knows all this. Now, see, Reagan got in and was really trying to put in place what he believed in, and he got shot. Then they took him to a military base. They basically, from a lot of big sources, we know they gave him cold blood, which can really cause brain damage. but they started drugging him. And reportedly they would keep him, that's why he slept most of the time and wasn't seen. Then they would get him on other drugs to wake him up and then roll him out with cue cards. So, and it's really easy with an older person. The word is, after he was shot and in the hospital for a few weeks under military control, Ronald Reagan basically rolled out under mind control. And by mind control, I mean kind of addled, confused, a cocktail of drugs, where just like McVeigh, they'd get him drugged up for court and then let him go off the drugs, then for another interview, get him drugged up and confuse him and then roll him back out. I mean, you can give somebody amnesics. I could drop in a halcyon in somebody's drink out here, and in 45 minutes, they wouldn't know where they were, and I could basically give them a script and have them say whatever I wanted, and then 3 hours later, they wouldn't remember what they did. I mean, that's your basic mind control, because Reagan would snap back in and snap back out. I remember seeing old interviews with him, you know, he'd be caught off guard. I mean, he was just completely out of it at that point. All right, I said I was going to take calls today, and then we get into all the news. It's just that I thought I'd tell that Rick Perry story. You know, perhaps before my friend leaves town again, perhaps I should try to get him on air to talk about Rick Perry, because I think it was really interesting stories. So you can just hear it from him. But again, he's like, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, maybe I should. Well, it is a private club, but, well, it wasn't in confidence. Well, so we'll see what happens with that. Okay. I need to hit the fact that stocks dropped sharply amid uncertainty after Obama's job speech last night. Also, the union group taking over and holding people hostage. And then the media is like, well, that's reasonable. So we're going to analyze that a little bit. And then I promise, bottom of the hour, it's only about 13, 14 minutes away. And when we come back from that next break, I'm going to go directly to your phone calls. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back. They certainly have. Okay, after I take a whole bunch of calls, I'm going to get into world entering dangerous new phase. The new head of the International Monetary Fund said, of course, it's a new phase of power consolidation for them. So they are now going to basically fearmonger the population into giving them more power and establishing this private economic dictatorship over Europe. That's already in control of the United States. Ancient meteorites showered Earth with gold study finds. NBC, they've done these different scientific scans of gold and find that it's not of this Earth and is younger. Well, no kidding, the Earth is part of the larger universe. And so gold, most gold is actually meteorite deposits. How interesting is that? Continuing, pensioners turned back to living off the land in Greece because things have imploded so bad under banker takeover austerity. A wealthy, cultured nation with great tourism. Suddenly overnight, they're paupers because their government signed them on to the derivatives the bankers created, the ball and chain they created. Instead of the bankers going to jail, they take over. But the people are now trying and succeeding, getting back to the land, and all this farmland not being used is now being used. And, of course, the government wants to come in and tax even private food grown for yourself. That's why there's a crackdown on the underground markets here in the United States, even if they're considered always to be legal and lawful. It's like, no. We want you dependent on us as we shut things down for social engineering purposes. Because as things get worse and you're dependent on us, you'll do whatever we say. This is the process that's going on. And obviously stocks are falling right now. We'll continue to watch that. But longshoremen in Washington storm a railroad facility, port facility, and it says six guards were held hostage for a couple of hours after 500 or more longshoremen broke down gates at 4:30 a.m. and smashed windows in the guard shack, he said. No one was hurt, but nobody has been arrested. Most of the protesters, see, now when you think of protesters, you think of folks with hostages. See, they'll use a term lesser than what's actually happening to something that's reasonable to then, in the minds of people, infect the term protester with holding hostages. That's why they'll call a suicide bomber an extremist. then they can legally call me an extremist in the news, but it has the suicide bomber connotation. See, it's all word manipulation. Most of the protesters returned to their union hall after cutting brake lines and spilling grain from a car at the EGT terminal. And it goes on to say that the police were threatened with baseball bats. I've seen the video, and the cops backed down. And they lie and say there was only one cop. I've seen photos with a whole bunch of cops, and they backed down. I've seen in Washington State and other areas, peaceful people at demonstrations, and cops come, I guess it was in Oregon, south of there, and spray mace in a big can into the baby carriage. And the lady goes, "Why'd you do that?" And he goes, "You shouldn't bring a bleeping baby to a protest." They tell them disperse unpermitted, and so the peaceful people start going down this road, and they block them in and start beating them. So, see, why would the cops let people take hostages, attack things, and then it's like, oh, they took some hostages, they're just protesters, nobody's gotten in trouble, and they say the police aren't going to do anything? Why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but it's because Obama is big in with the unions. And so the word has gone down, leave them alone. Now, whether you support what the unions did and see it as like the Tea Party 1776, or if you think they're terrorists, there's different views of this, they certainly are getting special treatment. So you have to ask yourself, why is that? Why is that? Is it because the government doesn't want to start a spark? Yeah, they don't want to start a spark with this group. With the unions. They want the unions to think that the government's their friend while they deindustrialize, while they ship the jobs overseas. You know, most of the unions support open borders and low wage people coming in, unlimited. Well, that's what's really one of the biggest things driving down your wages. So, see, they just want to play unions and private companies off against each other, so the private companies just leave and go overseas. Why did they put up with being raided or put up with the unions or put up with what happened to Gibson Guitar? So, see, it's a very complex issue. I like the fact that there are some counterbalancing unions. I think there is a place for unions, people's right to collectively organize. But it always gets abused and always gets co-opted. I mean, I look at where your union dues go universally. It pretty much goes to take my guns, take my private property, get rid of my country. And then you guys get upset when your country falls apart and blame some private company. And then you're allowed to go take people hostage. And if you'd have just dumped the grain out, I'd say, 1776. But taking hostages,
we're on.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses.
Yep, that's what it is. The globalists believe these wars are rituals. Sorcerers of mind's destruction. All right, I'm ready to go to your phone calls. Coming up, Bob Chapman is joining us. I haven't even gotten into most of the news. Lawmakers push to approve high-tech guard tower or crowd control. That's right, for the coming collapse. Oh, and they're just now getting all this in place. No, they've been getting it ready for more than a decade. This is all part of a rollout program. And the more bailouts you give the banks, the worse things get. And then they say, give us more power, and the worse things get. All engineered. And now the new private bank of the world being announced as our savior. Google funds carbon tax groups and has Al Gore working with them. Always lecturing everyone on energy consumption. Turns out they're using more power at one data center than all of Salt Lake City, Utah, a major city. Also, Ron Paul won by, when the poll closed, by a whopping 50-plus percent in the big MSNBC poll with 205,000 respondents. But he can't win because they say so. And other polls show he won the poll. So many MSNBC and NBC articles don't even mention Ron Paul, the winner. Got to love that. There's also new fear being hyped up, booga booga. Al-Qaeda might hit you any minute. Thank goodness they've got jumbotrons going up in major cities saying don't trust your neighbor, trust government, and that's it. Okay, let's go to Rachel in New York. Thanks for holding her on the air.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I live 10 blocks from Ground Zero. I've lived in New York my whole life, and I've lived where I live now before 9/11 and ever since. And it's a circus act down here right now. There's everybody running around. They're hyping up all of their... it's a police state, basically. We had 6 checkpoints going to work today, 6 checkpoints going home. They are running around frantic. They have police boats in the harbors telling everybody that, you know, they're about to attack. My take on this is that they have everything in place to have an attack because they're out of bullets. So when they do attack, all very convenient that the subways were shut down a few weeks ago for that farce with the hurricane. And when they do something, it's going to have to be more spectacular than what they pulled on 9/11.
Well, there's no doubt that if a government, the people running our government, have been caught nerve gassing our own troops, spraying radiologicals on them, biologicals, killing them in thousands of different studies, adding all sorts of sterilants to vaccines, shooting little kids up all over the world with syphilis and polio. I mean, this is all admitted and people go, but it's crazy to think that they would stage a terror attack. Well, no, it's not. And then you're like, well, they created Al-Qaeda. They used them against the Serbs, the Russians. They've given them control of Libya. The head of the U.S. embassy said they were ordered to let the hijackers back in the U.S., even though they were in the terror database because, quote, that was their cover. And they told the U.S. embassy they work for us. And then the government gets Mutalib, the underwear bomber, on Christmas Day on the plane. We tell you that from eyewitnesses a month before the Deputy Secretary of State Kennedy comes out and says, yes, we were ordered by an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency to do this. I mean, folks, this gets announced and then it just gets glazed over. It's like, yeah, and we're all the Lockheed, number 3 in Al-Qaeda. Some say number 1 hanging out at the Pentagon when he's on the most wanted list. And secret meetings, no big deal. You want to sue and Judicial Watch or other groups want to know his travel records from the State Department? No, for his privacy, you don't get to have that. I mean, all of the hijackers living at military bases or FBI paying for their houses. And I'll sit there with these reporters from Nightline and MSNBC and Slate and Rolling Stone and all of it, and I'll say, do you really? Here, let me show you where the hijackers were living at military bases. Let me show you where the head of the U.S. embassy said they were ordered to let them in. And they just go, no, I don't want to look at it. And then I'll say, but you don't agree with me that it could be an inside job. No, it's just crazy. The government wouldn't do something like that. Yeah, but look at Gulf of Tonkin. Well, that wasn't as big. It didn't kill anybody. Yeah, but it led to 58,000 dead Americans, 300-something thousand wounded, disabled, arms, legs gone, faces gone, eyeballs gone, testicles gone, everything else gone. And a million dead Vietnamese. And it just goes on. And I go, look at what other governments have done over and over again. And they just won't listen. Or sometimes I go, okay, well, admit to me, reporter, that at least government has used this to take our rights. And they'll go, yeah, I guess they kind of have. Then it doesn't matter. In the final equation, it's been used to take our liberties. It doesn't keep us safe. And I could go on and on and on and on. And it's not fun to get up here and say 9/11 is an inside job. But you know what? We don't have a future if we don't face facts. Okay? It's synthetic terror. They are financing the radical Muslims. And, you know, I was on ManCal this morning, and I appreciate your call, ma'am. Good to hear from you. I was on ManCal this morning, and I was bringing up Anwar al-Awlaki at the Pentagon, and I was bringing up, you know, trying to bring up the underwear bomber and all the rest of it. And he was having to admit that Al-Qaeda has been given control of Libya. And he's like, I do see in Project Gunrunner, you know, to blame the Second Amendment, Fast and Furious, I'm starting to get you. And I said, yeah, even Chuck Norris, you know, is waking up. And he goes, oh, well, he's the authority. Got to go, Alex. You know, that was the end of the interview. And I meant to go on and say, Chuck Norris, you know, who's made all these movies about the Muslims being the ultimate devil and drilling our troops' kneecaps because they're evil torturers, but our government's good torturing. And Chuck Norris, this icon of, you know, get the Muslim extremist. And Chuck Norris is finally saying, who's a good guy, he means well, 2 + 2 = 4. He's good on the Second Amendment and sovereignty and things like that. But he likes the woodchuck Chuckabee, another fake, slick guy. And you know, Chuck's been listening, he's told me, for 16 years, since the beginning of the show, he's heard it. He's got a couple of ranches, he can hear the show, one of our affiliates we had years ago. But you know, talking to Chuck Norris, it wasn't, oh, well, Chuck Norris says so. You know, who is the boogeyman afraid of? Who does he look under the bed for? Chuck Norris. That's the variant. You know, when fascism goes to sleep, what is it afraid of? What's it look under the bed for? Ron Paul. You know, we have that T-shirt if you want to spread the word about Ron Paul and also support our operation. That's available at InfoWars.com. But the issue is, even Chuck Norris wrote a big article and quoted InfoWars.com in WorldNet Daily Town Hall. It's a syndicated column in a bunch of newspapers across the country, millions of readers. And he, you know, he said, our government's helping Al-Qaeda, our government's financing them, and our government's rebranding terrorism onto the American people, and mainly white people. And people say, oh, you're being racist, saying that it's branded to whites. No. The ad is branding it to whites. We're reporting on the racial branding. And Chuck Norris sees that. I mean, you finally get it. It's fun and tribal to get upset at people that don't look like us and that have got big beards and are basically the equivalent of, you know, Middle Eastern rednecks. I mean, you actually act a lot of the same, like guns, you know, the whole nine yards. They're people just like us. And if you go back 50 years, the State Department's on record paying, up until a decade ago, for textbooks all over the Middle East and in North Africa and Central Asia, radicalizing the jihadist. And the line was, is a bulwark against communism. You know, our government, the social engineers, took the most radical forms of Islam and supercharged them and used them to put them in power all over the Middle East in the 50s, 60s, and 70s because they didn't want secular leaders there with golf courses and big hotels. And, I mean, you know, the Arabs, all those people, they want civilization. You know, they had it 4,000 years ago. They invented a lot of our sciences. So what did the British do? They went and got warlike Bedouins that were basically like cowboys, Wild Wild West folks, and gave them billions of dollars in today's numbers of weapon systems to go take over five or six different countries and turn it into one nation. And they went in and totally set up a society. And they were the ones that said, now a hood's going over your head. You know, before it was rich women who didn't want men in the market freaking out over them. Really beautiful rich women would have servants with them and they would have a thin veil. Just like veils were in 100, 200 years ago for women here, their delicate white skin. Same, that's been in style for thousands of years. Or whatever color their skin was, they didn't want sun on it. And so women would have a veil in the hot 120 degree temperature if they went out. They would have gloves on. But the British went in and said, no, women aren't going to college. You're going to wear bags over your head. And again, then use that whole threat to then menace the West and say, we're taking your rights away because these crazy people are coming to get you. I mean, this is how it really works. And then they play us off against each other, and the bankers destroy both Christendom and Islam at the same time. What Albert Pike wrote about in 1878, the Illuminati. Okay, I said I'd take a lot of calls, and I'm not doing it. Let's go to Julio in Illinois. We're talking about 10 years later, 9/11, your views on the whole thing. Go ahead, Julio. Welcome.
Alex, pleasure speaking to you as always. 9/11, man, I can't believe it's already been 10 years. I was 11 years old when the false flag attacks took place. And I remember one thing specifically from that day. I come home from school. Thank goodness my school didn't allow us to watch any of that propaganda on TV, so I didn't get filled with that propaganda from the beginning. But I remember watching Building 7 collapse live on ABC, and I remember thinking how weird that was, just because, you know, all throughout that day, what did we hear? Oh, you know, the Twin Towers got hit, you know, Pennsylvania and the Pentagon and whatnot. So I remember seeing Building 7, you know, collapse, And
the reporters were down there. Yeah, again, I heard it on radio, TV, and the clips later did surface that I'd seen. People dug them out. People found them in digital archives. And they kept saying, well, 7's going to fall on its own footprint. And the government may blow it up. And then, yeah, they're getting ready to bring it down. And then, oh, it's already fallen when it hadn't fallen. Because the cops were having to be, the cops weren't part of it. So the government had to tell the cops, the feds did, and the firemen, get back, we're bringing it down. So cops went to media and said, they're getting ready to bring it down. Then the feds got behind blowing it up. And so it's like, well, they said they're going to blow it up. And then they came back and said, it fell, but we didn't blow it up. I mean, we have them on 7. We have the cops saying, get back, they're getting ready to bring it down. I mean, we have them on CNN. We have the blast squibs. And when Barry Jennings came out and said, yeah, they blew up the building, you notice he died a month later. And he was the deputy head of emergency management. I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Now, just doing all the research, being awake the last couple of years in college, just seeing what we're seeing right now with the preparatory phase for another false flag, the exact same thing happened on 9/11. I remember I did a report in school, and I found Operation Amalgam Virgo, June of 2001, with the CIA asset, Osama bin Laden, on the cover. And on that document, it specifically stated about hijacking planes and going into buildings. I mean, this was a couple of months before 9/11. Now,
and then the CIA ran drills of the Pentagon and the World Trade Centers being hit by planes a year before, 6 months before, a couple months before, and then the day of the event. And then we have the air traffic controller tapes going, get the simulations of the drill off my screen. It's confusing me. That's how they got NORAD and everybody to stand down, because they were told, it's a drill. It's a drill. Sorry, go ahead.
No, no worries, Alex. Just looking at all the preparatory phase right now for false flag, as the first woman mentioned a few moments ago, they're going to have to do something worse than 9/11. And, you know, I'm hearing Steve Quayle talk a lot about the possible biological attack. And, you know, I mentioned this on your show a couple months ago, how the University of Illinois Chicago received a grant, a couple $1 million to make anthrax viruses. You hear about, this is crazy, Alex. This is really 1984 state. The last 10 years, we're living in the New World Order.
Oh, absolutely. And they've got all these movies, Julio, I appreciate your call. All these movies coming out about the plague is coming. Take your shots. The plague is coming. And this is a military-industrial complex, banking, pharma system that is obsessed with putting stuff in vaccines, water, food, obsessed with giving people autoimmune diseases and neurological problems. And I mean, this is a system that's been caught over and over again trying to hurt people through the vaccines. Here, let me go take a shot. And by the way, I hadn't gotten to that yet. Here is Prince Charles, London Telegraph. He gave a big speech. Mankind faces extinction. The Prince of Wales is warned, unless humans transform our lifestyles to stop mass consumption, runaway climate change, and destruction of wildlife. Now, the elite are running pell-mell for a power grab with genetic engineering, toxic waste dumping. They could care less. But then they always claim they care about the environment to get us to give up control of our private property, to let them into our houses, the green police, the control, the selective enforcement. But see, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When they release bioplagues that only kill a few hundred million, then everybody locks down, does what they're told. They're saying the bioplague is coming because of global warming. You'll be taught it's your fault. Then you'll take all the shots they say to protect yourself, even though it kills a lot of people. Oh, it's still worth it. You know, this guy didn't get vaccinated and he spread it to a bunch of people, so you don't have a choice. Then they set that precedent to force inoculate. Okay. And then once that's in place, then the big mega attacks come. And they are just getting this big police state in place. World government is the extermination pen. World government is only the guillotine. Once the world government's finished, the head goes in the guillotine. By the way, Rob Dew had to go to a funeral, and he gave me an article the other day, and I sent it to Kurt and everything 2 days ago, and it was about, was it in Phoenix? They had live explosives in a drill, and they got lost, and that looked to me like an attempted false flag. And I mean, this is coming in so fast that I can't even keep track of it all anymore, and I forgot to even cover that, and I can run around everybody, and guys, go to the search engine. Security test, live explosives lost. at airport. Live explosives lost at airport. Search that for me. That was 3 days ago. My goodness. I didn't even, because it was like 8 o'clock at night. We'd done the TV show. Dude's like, look at this. And I'm like, I am it to Nimmo and Watson. They may have done something. I never saw it. And it got no attention. Nobody talked about it. And I just can't even keep track of it all anymore. But here's one, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Mass casualty exercise scheduled in Tarrant County. That's up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on 9/11 weekend. Hundreds of military reservists, civilian firefighters, and medical personnel will stage a mass casualty exercise involving explosives and helicopter evacuations in western Tarrant County this weekend. Yeah, they do it to, again, create the perception that there is a disaster, there is an emergency, that the terrorists are real. There it is. The guys found it. Explosive stolen from Phoenix Airport may have been found, police say. And then you read it, and it turns out it was part of a drill. And, again, real explosives. They were probably trying to set somebody up, and they figured it out. Yeah, here's that article. Phoenix police admit mistakes in stolen explosives case. Acting Phoenix police chief Joe Yonner wants to know which officer wasn't watching explosives at Sky Harbor International Airport when they were stolen Friday. Now, do you believe any of this? Statistically, they do a drill, A, with real explosives, and that in the rare drill, using real explosives, they happen to get stolen. This is their excuse for getting caught or somebody blowing the whistle. And this is their problem. When they see the sharp-dressed man ordering them to get the underwear bomber on the plane, and my listeners, 9/11 truthers, are watching, they blow the whistle and everything they said turned out to be true. Sounded outrageous. U.S. government got him on the plane. Turned out it was true. No investigation, no nothing. Now there's police, now there's others that know how to keep their mouth shut and just get it out to the right people, that when there's a drill, listen, if you're ever, somebody wants to hire you to be part of a drill, and that's why they have these drills, hundreds and hundreds of them per country, is that then they'll have an unannounced drill that goes live. And they'll tell you, yeah, you're going to practice going in the subway with a simulated backpack bomb. Okay, Hassan? You're a good school teacher. You know, you're writing essays against radical Islam. And we're going to have you even shoot a video for training. You know, for all, and then they get everybody in a little room and everybody practices it. And, okay, this is the tabletop simulation. And you're meeting with the head of the underground here in England. And we're running a drill of attacks. Remember the exact drill, the exact targets, exact trains and exact bus attack at the same time, exact same place. That's BBC News. And then they blew the guys up. But a few of them got wise and ran, and it came out in the news. At Canary Wharf, they caught him, and the police gunned him down and killed him, and then that was kept quiet. It was on the news. They gunned him down, killed him, and said, don't worry about it. Then they had other people part of the drill they had to track down and kill. This is how America and England and the world operates. So does anyone believe they lost 3 nuclear weapons a few years ago out of Minot on the B-52s, the cruise missiles? Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe that they had real explosives and then in the drill they got lost? When all they would do is have something that looks like explosives and put residue on it. Instead, this was giant kegs of plastic explosive. Right before 9/11, everybody's criticizing the TSA. My God, my gut tells me, I'd say about a 90% chance they were planning to blow up an aircraft. And they would have picked one that a Muslim was getting on. They had the flight manifest, sometimes weeks ahead. Who they want to set up, they'll go put stuff on your laptop, and then they've got you. Habib Hassan, he did it. Oh, look, Habib Hassan, this will be a good plane. That sounds real Islamic. That'll scare the public. Go with Habib Hassan. Again, this is a hypothetical, folks. It's not a real Habib Hassan. It's like a John Doe. And then they do it. But somebody blew the whistle on this bad boy. They're like, oh, jeepers, real explosive got stolen. Real explosive trying to get through the airport. Right. And I see this happening a lot. By the grace of God, By the grace of God, we've done our work in the last 10 years, and people are looking and watching. Good police officers, good citizens, good firefighters, good FBI people. The folks that send me information. But I'm telling you right now, folks, they could do anything. They could nuke a city and say Al-Qaeda did it. But they're also getting ready to say right-wingers are going to stage terror. They could stage terror and come arrest me. I mean, they mean business, ladies and gentlemen. And it goes on that on the Labor Day weekend, they were shipping through high-powered explosives through Terminal 4, and then the bombs got stolen. Does anyone believe that?
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yep. Federal government, along with the Phoenix police, basically tried to get a bunch of plastic explosives on board an aircraft. By the grace of God, somebody got it and it came up missing. Somebody diverted it. Imagine, the 9/11 myth rises again out of Phoenix. You can just see New World Order written all over this. Let's go back to your calls here. Let's talk to Eric in California. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I've talked to you before. I'm a former air traffic controller, and we've spoken about this on the air before. But the reason I'm calling you today is I just recently purchased this movie. It's 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, and I think it's awesome. And right now on Drudge, there's a post for it's speaking of Bay Area to host 9/11 Conspiracy Movie Festival. And it's from NBCBayArea.com, and I'm right now engaged in an info war on that. And I would appreciate listeners checking that out and coming to my defense a little bit. It's getting hot and heavy. So,
well, as an air traffic controller, what's your view on what happened on that day?
Oh, let me tell you. I mean, from my training from 83 to 87, I mean, 9/11. It would have been impossible. And I've heard you comment before about, you know, exercises on that day confusing people. But, you know, from my experience, we were never to mix exercise with live traffic. You know, it's all about aircraft safety and whatnot.
By the way, we're showing some Fox News propaganda right now. All over the country, they're setting up checkpoints and searching cars, trucks, vehicles. Again, it's like a holiday to train everybody. Hey, today's Constitution Free Day. It's kind of like this weekend's a no refusal. You have no Fourth Amendment. This weekend, we'll take your blood this weekend all over the country. And now they're announcing, oh, we're going to take blood 365 days a year without warrants now. See, it's all a beta test. Oh, because of the anniversary coming up just this week, there's no Fourth Amendment. You understand. You know, we're just going to go on the outside of your pants. Next week, it'll be in the pants. Again, it's all a conditioning process.
I'm telling you, I'm happy to see this, you know, this news of Bay Area to host 9/11 Conspiracy Movie Festival. You know, that's good news. And coming from California, I mean, my God, I mean, it's just, to me, that making any news at all, if we can.
No, that's great. That's great. And I'm sure folks will attend that. Marcellus in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me on the line, dog. Hey, like when 9/11 happened, I was in fourth grade. I remember the teachers stopping class and putting up the news broadcast of what was happening and all of that. They showing people jumping out the buildings. They zooming in on the people. I'm like,
psychological trauma, psychological warfare, trauma-based mind control. In fact, I've talked to troops who, before the planes hit, they were all brought in to conference rooms, and then as it happened, they flipped the TVs on. I mean, you talk about a psyop. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's straight, man, you know. And then I'm sitting there like, oh, my God. Like, back then, I ain't know, but now that I think about it, if you go to Yahoo, which I know you have, you will see on one of the headlines, it's got pictures of people falling. They got one entitled The Jumping Man. I'm like, why are you so infatuated over people who was on wit's end and just jumped?
Well, it's a snuff film. It's meant to scare you. Hey, look, the people died. You're scared. Let us take your rights away.
mind. That's exactly what it seems like they trying to do. And I got this issue right here, Alex, and I want you just to elaborate on it, because you know, how come people will listen to some stuck-up, uppity dude wearing a suit, knowing he reading a teleprompter or something written in front of him, I call a script, you know, these prostitutes, they'll listen to them on fake news, that's Fox News, fake news, but won't listen to somebody who they live with, who knows what they're talking about, or won't even listen to someone who's actually got facts and proof. They're called liar. They'll be called conspiracy theorists. They call terrorists. I do not understand it. People think I'm going crazy because I'm trying to tell them what's really happening. But
tell you what, stay there. I want to come back to you and I'll try to answer your question.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ron Paul, in the poll conducted by NBC News, now has 57.7% of the votes a day and a half after the debate. In second place, with 14.3%, is Mitt Romney. Rick Perry with 12.2%. And it goes down from there. Bachman with 1.8%. So there you have it. And Ron Paul has won the majority of straw polls. He's come in second place. He is probably the leader, definitely in the top two. No debate, top three. And they tell you he cannot win. Oh, he just won the New Hampshire straw poll, just came in second in the Ames. Oh, cannot win. Oh, he's breaking fundraising records, cannot win. Oh, he just won this scientific poll, just came in second place in this scientific poll, cannot win. Wow, we're in a position here where the mind control of the globalists is becoming more evident than ever. But people who are still in the mind control, they have a choice. They can either use common sense or think they're voting for the winner. See, a lot of folks just want to vote for the winner, like to feel like, well, that team looks like they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're undefeated right now, so I think I'll go buy one of their jerseys or one of their baseball caps. They see politicians like Coke or Pepsi, Ford or Chevy, and we were talking to Marcellus in Tennessee, and then I'm going to go to other callers after he has a chance to comment on my answer. And he was saying, why is it that people will listen to some painted trollop or some newsman in a $2,000 suit and a fancy tie reading off a teleprompter, a script, and take that as credible, but then laugh at their friends and family? There's a lot of reasons there, but any salesman will tell you the hardest people to sell things to are your family, because they don't respect you. There's an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Absence makes the heart grow fond. And even if you are seen as the leader of your family, when you're selling something or you have an idea, they have seen you stumble. They've seen you make mistakes. They've seen you get angry. They've seen you brushing your teeth. And so they don't respect themselves, and so they don't respect you. Most people in this modern society, it's always been this way, but it's more pronounced now than ever. Most people are wildly insecure. That's what Madison Avenue does. They say, you're ugly, you're fat, we've got products to sell you. Terrorists are going to get you. You know, we're selling you tyranny. Buy it. They're selling this insecurity. Okay? And they sell false insecurities. You know, the best sales pitch is for things that are actually good, but the system's always trying to sell things that really aren't needed. So they take the female form that's natural, that's voluptuous, that in university studies and in marketing studies, men really want a voluptuous Marilyn Monroe. They don't want the 90-pound woman who's bulimic and heroin chic. That may be what the gay men designers are into, because they look like an 18-year-old man with a wig on. You know, that's what these women, some of these women look like, with big knobby knees and the rest of it. But that's their particular view. So the social engineers pick that idea and sell that, so women then feel insecure, and it compounds. Women then grow up hearing their mothers, hearing their grandmothers do nothing but talk about their weight and nothing but talk about how they look. So see, now it's only about image. And they take vain ideas of shallowness. The only happy old women you find are old women that really love their grandchildren or are into painting or into bird watching. Women either get, just like men, either get greater and better, or they just degenerate into bitterness. It's the same thing for men. Hey, if you don't have a goatee and a shaved head and a bunch of tattoos and act tough to people, you're not a man. I'm not saying you're bad if you got tattoos and got a shaved head and a goatee. The point is that they sell that idea to men. Okay? And you got to strut around all day and act tough. Well, why don't you try to go get in some police faces who are running a checkpoint? Or why don't you try to go speak to a city council and tell them they're putting poison in the water? You know, being a man isn't about going around and acting tough all day. In fact, real men have to restrain themselves from wanting to kill people. I mean, it's not like it's a good thing that you're a killing machine. We get it. You're tough, all right? I understand it. You need to learn to control that and focus it into action, because in modern warfare, 90% of it is psychological and informational. But see, he has such a foundational question that I'm elaborating on this right now. Why won't his family listen to them? Let me give you another angle of it. People who are, quote, at the best country club in Austin or Dallas or wherever you live, always when they open some new super signature golf course, they've got to go get on the waiting list or try to get invited to join that, just because they've got to be exclusive. They've got to have the newest car. They've got to have the biggest house. I mean, I've been in worldly rich people's houses, and you can see them kind of talking about their neighbor and some new giant thing they're building, and they're like, I've got to add that. They're in some competition. It's not that a horse is stupid or bad. It's an incredible animal. But you try to get up beside a horse on another horse and go faster than them, they're going to try to get up ahead of you. It's just instinctiveness. And the globalists are punching our lower instinctive levels. I always wonder why, when I'm in a hurry to get to work and I'm going 75 miles an hour in a 65, and people are in the slow lane and they'll speed up even though you were never on their tail to get ahead of you. And then sometimes they'll speed up and get in front of you and drive right by another car in the slow lane, like this is their substance, like this is their weird psychic vampire power. I would be completely embarrassed by being petty like that and would feel completely disempowered. I would probably throw up when I got out of the car if I became someone who wanted to park, who wanted to block other people. I want to see people unleashed. I want to see potential. I like seeing big rockets launch, and I like seeing science and people pole vaulting over things and beauty and people succeeding. You see, it's that idea versus people that are freaked out by other success. You've got to know that's the globalist prime mover. It's why they attack success, attack enlightenment, because they're threatened by it. They can only rule a population that is in darkness. Now, here's an example, and I was never that worldly, but it was still, wow, movie stars. What would it be like to know famous movie stars? What would it be like, another world, like being in outer space or visiting another planet? You know, that unattainable. What would it be like to have the big house? What would it be like to have the cool car? What would it be? Well, from folks I've talked to, it becomes a hassle, becomes a ball and chain if you're more centered. Or it becomes your God. Well, that isn't my God. I don't resonate with that. It's fine to be comfortable, but that's not in my hierarchy of needs anywhere near the top. And so over the years, getting to know some of the most famous people in the world, I'd say 95% of the famous people I know, you'll never hear on air. They just reach out to me. And it's incredible. I mean, you could name it. You could basically name it. Okay? And it's not that I don't want to talk to them on the phone now when they call. It's that I am just trying to unlock minds. I'm so busy, I don't even really call these people anymore. I don't even really try to get people on the show. Half the time now, I don't even call a super famous person back, not because I'm high and mighty, but because I'd rather go out and listen to frogs at dusk. I'd rather oil paint. I would rather research information. I'd rather carry the trash out here at this office. because I'm unlocking minds, and that is the most important thing we can do in this plane of existence. Now, finishing up, for people that have never met super famous people or really know them or spent a lot of time with them, they just, I've talked to famous movie stars, and they say even presidents and people freak out and act weird around them because those aren't developed people. And it turns out really famous, powerful people like other people who have figured out that none of it means anything. It's weird. You find out really famous people, they then think you're a star. And then they want to meet you. And then they like you once they meet you. But then it's kind of like, yeah, you're just like everybody else. So it's the same thing. Your family doesn't think much of themselves. So they don't think much of you. I'd rather, out the back of some old fishing shack, talk to some quiet old, weird old man and drink beer with him than hang out with some super A-list Hollywood star. I'd rather walk around in the high desert than go out on a date with the most beautiful supermodel in the world. And it's because I realize this planet is just one little planet. I mean, look, folks, we're in outer space. What is this? We're orbiting a giant burning fireball. And so a lot of people won't wake up or get involved because they make a split-second decision that they're powerless. They make a split-second decision that, oh, I'm not going to believe there's corruption because why should I believe it? I'm powerless. I couldn't do anything about it. When they have no idea how much power they've really got, and that this whole life is a test. And so that's why your family laughs at you. You know, I've seen this. I've talked to a lot of high-powered media people. I remember years ago, I was eating dinner with a guy, and I said, you know, almost everybody I talk to, I can convince, or they wake up. I said, everybody's waking up. And he said, or you speak authoritatively, and they're only responding. The next message they'll get, they'll buy into that. And that was a key. Tommy Pallotta told me that, and he was absolutely right. It's that these people, once the globalists engineer you to not have a mooring or a compass, you just float around. You don't have a core. Now, we all have that core. You've just got to ignite it. Yeah! We'll be right back with your phone calls.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
All right, Marcellus, I was going to go back to you to let you comment on the question you'd asked, but I'm going to go back to the calls now to try to boil down the answer in just 30 seconds to your question. Why won't your family listen to you, but they'll listen to somebody reading off a teleprompter? It's an appeal to authority. They project that. You've never been in a place surrounded by a glistening set in a fancy suit with a guy's face that's been scored and cued in front of audiences to sell that they're believable. Or a woman smiling at you seductively. She's looking at a camera. She's not actually looking at you with sexual desire. They found that sells lies to men so that you get into a frame of mind to believe it. They're just accepting it like, oh, that's the big TV thing in the sky. That's CNN. That's the expert. And you see establishment hacks when they get on shows to debate. They'll go, very well, Mr. Tinfoil. Let's talk about what everybody knows. And then they go into their little shtick. But once you know the tricks, you totally understand it. Okay? So that's what's happening. And you need to lovingly talk to your family about these things. Because a lot of times family also thinks, especially if you're younger, which I think you're basically, you said 9/11 happened when you were in fourth grade. So what, you're basically a young man now, but they probably still think of you as a kid. They think you're showing off. So I would say the way, if you want to really wake your family up, is become successful. You know, live your life. Become a political leader in your area. And stop trying to convince them. You can either lovingly explain to them the manipulation, or you can just tell them, I really care about you. I wish you'd wake up. and just move on. Because we need to reach people. There's the old saying, the teacher appears when the student is ready. And students can teach teachers. Teachers can teach students. We're all teachers. Life is a process. All right, let's go to Nina in Washington, then Yah, Don, Sheldon, Bishop, and others. Go ahead, Nina. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I called. Actually, I thought I would go to the front of the line since I wanted to disagree with a lot of things you've said.
Oh, you know what? We've got a new call system, and I wasn't reading the fine print there. Yes, but hey, you're on now.
Hey, and I wanted to call in. I'm one of your Muslim sisters over here in Seattle. That was about time a Muslim woman called in. I've been listening to you for 6 years, so I'm, you know, I feel qualified to comment.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I'd like to say my husband was a virgin. He didn't screw around, and I didn't make any woman pregnant, so they had to go out and get abortions. And
well, that's one reason they hate the Muslims is, you know, conservatives don't hate the abortuaries, most of them. They just hate Muslims all day that have killed 50-plus million American babies. But ma'am, what do you disagree with? Because I mean, let's cut to the chase.
Yeah, I'm a Muslim woman, and, my Muslim husband, he didn't screw around. He doesn't screw around. He
ma'am,
doesn't drink.
But, ma'am, what are you saying you disagree with me on?
What I'm trying to say is that I've been listening to you for 6 years, and you keep saying, I'm not saying there aren't some Muslim extremists who don't hate America, don't want to hurt America. Fox News says Anwar al-Awlaki, blah, 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 the Muslims ran Fort Hood. This is serving the Illuminati, okay? Muslims did not do any of this. And you're still keeping the lie alive that, well, they're dumb Muslims who did it, that they thought they were doing it, but they were really being used.
Ma'am, you're completely confused here. Last year, even mainstream media had to admit that there were more than 10 cases last year and a couple this year where they would recruit, quote, new Muslims, generally Hispanics or black folks in every case. None of them were Anglo. Well, no, one woman was. And they would get them out of prison, where they basically are forced to join these gangs. And then the FBI would lead them as their imam and try to get them to blow something up. And so there are real people who say they're Muslims who are trying to blow stuff up. The point is the government was trying to lead them. And there are real terrorists, people who militarily, asymmetrical warfare, do attack Western targets in cases that I've seen that are not manufactured. Most of it is manufactured, but I'm just about research, history, what's going on. I think it's terrorism when they drop a Hellfire missile on a wedding to kill 200 people to kill one person they claim might be a terrorist. So do you see what I'm saying right there?
Let me say something. Hold me over because I have something to say to you.
Okay, I'll let you finish, ma'am, but I think it's naive to say that there are Christians who've blown up abortuaries. I mean, and that is an act of terrorism. Is that saying all Christians are bad? It's crazy.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Okay, we are going back to your calls and the news here in a moment. Bob Chapman is coming up. We're opening the phones up to say, what's your view of 10 years later, how America's changed? 9/11 is the event that's been used to basically kill the Republic, butcher the Bill of Rights. And they've now removed most of the Bill of Rights and are actively setting the precedents to now go after the general population. And the big issue is they're clearly rebranding away from Muslims. And again, I'm reaching out to folks that have a fetish of fearing Muslims and they're under the bed and they're going to get you. I told you the internal manuals, this was for conservatives, libertarians, gun owners, anti-globalists. But they always brand it on a group that's a minority and seen as unpopular. Hitler did it. Stalin did it. They always pick a minority to take their rights first and prime the pump. Then they move on to who they really want to rob. And that's the general public, and namely seen as the big enemy because it's seen as the establishment at the local level as more wealthy per capita, white people. There's a new ad, there's got to be 10 of these now, where in every ad, everyone is white, and it's minorities that report them. Then the Southern Poverty Law Center comes out and says, well, Jones is racist. He pointed out these ads, everybody's white. So now they run the ads, and if you point it out, well, you're clearly rebranding now, as you always meant to do, now that it's in place, to Whitey. Because again, if Whitey's the terrorist, first it's people that are brown, don't trust any of them, and whites are like, yeah, get them. And then, oh, now the whites are the terrorists too. So see, now everybody's a terrorist. It's just a total branding. Now, if you're a union and want to storm a facility and hold people hostage and threaten cops with baseball bats and sabotage equipment and cut brake lines on trains, you don't get in trouble because you're seen as part of the establishment for now. And again, I'm not saying I'm against unions completely. I'm saying, why are they exempt? Why will they attack peaceful protesters of any political stripe and say it's normal, but then call what the union did okay? What's the larger stratagem there? You've got to ask yourself, why is that happening? Why is that going on? Well, the unions are supporting open borders, globalism. They're not supporting actually keeping their jobs. So they don't want to demonize a group they've been using to go out and beat up Tea Partiers. They're going to put out their video games where you kill Tea Partiers, and it's cute and funny, and call for violence constantly. But then I'm not calling for violence, and they have MSNBC report specials, Alex Jones and Ron Paul, calling for violence. Remember that, the rise of the new right? And then we don't say anything about violence? And every time reporters are here, they say, are you causing violence? Are you wanting violence? Well, aren't you worried violence is about to happen? I'm like, yeah, your bosses are getting ready to stage some terror attacks and blame it on us. I've gotten the internal memos. It's going to go public soon. They're going to roll out white Al-Qaeda. And then, sure enough, they roll out the white Al-Qaeda. I got the talking points from police years before it happened. They always train the internal group. It's a party system. Inner party, the globalist. Outer party, which is the enforcers and minions who are compartmentalized. And then us under that. Outer party, who I've woken up in this global syndicate, send me the info. So I can say, okay, this is the next script coming out. Stand by. It should come up right now. Okay, yep, there it is. See, I mean, this is all a projection. This is a trance. It's not a literal matrix of digital stuff. It's we're here living and operating, but our eyes see information like a computer, and so they pump us with disinformation and false ideas. Okay, so they either say you're with the Muslim extremist or you're with America. Well, America's been taken over by big foreign banks that are destroying what you would think of as America, Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence. So see, I'm a guy who really wants the real America, so those that claim they're the new America, the tyrants, they're now busy behind the scenes building a giant paramilitary spying suppression grid and training behind the scenes that they're going to wage war against real America. I've known it's going on. I've been to the drills, have the sources, and now I've been warning you for 16 years, and now the shields are dropping. And it's like a whole new ship's been built in dry dock, and they're launching it, and I'm going, they're manning the ship right now. They're loading missile tubes. They're loading their guns. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the big false flag to be blamed on people that want to get the foreign banks out of here. I'm getting chills right now. Brace, evasive action. Get all the firepower we can downline in the info war against them. Get ready for this next move. I told you, they're coming in from that side now. And the public's like, football games, la, 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 la. You know, this is the real deal. How would foreign banks take America over? They'd come in, stage terror attacks, pose as the saviors, get rid of the Bill of Rights and Constitution, say it's for a foreign enemy they're fighting, knowing you give up the rights, then flip it onto the general public. And even if you think 9-11 was an outside job, they've used it to kill our liberties while putting Al-Qaeda into Libya and getting the underwear bomber on the plane and Anwar al-Awlaki hanging out at the Pentagon. I mean, they run these people in front of you. It's 100%. They blew up Building 7 in front of everybody with cops saying, get back. They're getting ready to blow it up. I'm not a hero. I'm not special. I'm nobody. I can see, though. I can see it. And it's all because I saw cops dealing drugs when I was a kid. And like, cops steal drugs, Dad? And he goes, well, yes, the CIA's been well known, and it's part of corruption. Here, I'll go to the, we just got in a VCR when I was like, you know, 10 or whatever. And we got one late, and he went and got Serpico and popped it in, and I watched it. I guess I was more like 12 or 11, I don't remember. And see, just from that and reading history, history's all about intrigue and corruption and combines and monopolies and subterfuge and king's courts and Byzantine Machiavelli manipulation. And then they sit up here and tell you, none of that's going on nowadays. Government cares about you, and the big corporations care about you too. All right, I'm going to go to this lady here. I'm going to go back and give her a comment and get to everybody else. But we have a very special 9/11 special transmission tonight, 7 o'clock, and it's going to restream through much of the weekend. The problem is we've got to come back and reset it after it restreams the show like 5-10 times. The audio starts getting off a half second. We don't know why, but we'll be on tonight 7, and then it'll re-air over and over again on the streams and be archived at prisonplanet.tv or infowarsnews.com. I want to tell you about some of our great sponsors. One of them is HarvestEating.com. We have a great sponsor called HarvestEating.com, one word. Celebrity chef Keith Snow started a site that teaches how to use and prepare local foods. This site is designed to educate patriots and make them aware of real healthy food right in their community. HarvestEating.com. There are tools and resources how to get to local foods, recipes, and videos to get started. And, you know, how to, again, get your food, whatever area you're in, naturally, right off the side of the road, you name it. Food's all around you. Learning how to get the most out of your food and have fun doing it, go to harvesteating.com today and take a step towards food independence. That's right. It's just a step. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. Also, Diamond Gusset Jeans, made in America, gussetclothing.com, right there in Tennessee, where the feds raided Gibson. You know, they don't like you buying American. GussetClothing.com, and use promo code Alex for the special and get $10 off every pair of their carpenter jeans. They're basically like Levi's, but last a lot longer, made in America. Once you try these jeans, you won't wear anything else, whether you are working or relaxing. You won't believe the way these jeans feel. They have added a whole new variety and styles to the same great made in America quality. They got motorcycle jeans, everything. Check it out, GussetClothing.com today. Okay, okay, Nina, I'm going to give you about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. You've got the floor. You make your statement. I'm going to move on to other people.
I'm not sure even how much of what I said before was aired. I know that you're not going to give me much time. It's ironic after...
Ma'am, put her on hold. Ma'am, listen, you're on air. You've complained we didn't go to you quick enough. Now you're complaining again. Okay, it's obvious you're mad at me because I haven't joined Islam or whatever. At the end of the day, I'm a Christian. It's what I believe. I'm not bad. And make your point, please. I don't want to be your enemy. Just, you've got the floor. Make your point. You keep saying your husband was a virgin. Now, I don't know how I disagree with that. I don't know your husband. I'm sure he was a virgin. But what do you disagree with?
These people, okay? You don't want to hear, you don't have much time for it, but you have thousands of hours to talk about all this, what I call, I've begun to call Alex Jones Hail Marys, bad-mouthing Muslims. Okay, I have 2 points to make because you're not going to give me much time. One, Dmitry Kalazov says that he personally knows who organized 911, Mike Harari, Mossad agent. You can listen to Chip Tatum about Mike Harari of Manuel Noriega and the Holy Iran-Contra. And he claims, Dmitry Kalazov claims it was a missile that was fired into the Pentagon. Muslims did not fire a missile into the Pentagon, so there's a question there. There's a question there with your "let it happen" theme that's been going on for 6 years now that I've been listening to you. The other thing I want to say is that I think that's a very valid point, that you are showing a very bizarre covering up of the role that the fact that the CIA connects into Skull and Bones, which It's all tied in with Knights of Malta, Knights Templar, and the Vatican.
Okay. Ma'am, I've given you your time. Straw man, asinine, baloney, garbage. And then your proof is Vatican assassin, cherry on top at the end. Okay? I don't know what I can say to you. I've made five films on 9/11 saying it was a completely engineered inside job carried out by the military-industrial complex, and clearly other Western intelligence agencies were involved. I've been quoted just this month in major newspapers saying that and on BBC television. And you're now saying that I am saying the government let it happen. That's just unbelievable. But you said it, so it must be true. And I don't want to attack you or dislike you. If you really believe I said those things, then fine. I have said to listeners, even if you think 9/11 was an outside job, for the sake of argument, even though it's clearly an inside job, it's been used to take our liberties and target the American people. I mean, do you understand that? I've been against all these wars, all of it. And instead of talking about the New World Order, you call in. Your call is not screened. You volunteer, you disagree. We go to you. You're able to say what you want. You talk about, I don't know how much my call made it on air. Well, I put you on hold publicly to go to break and then come back. But it's again, it's bizarre. To sit there, I mean, they do have Muslim extremist al-Qaeda Wahhabis funded out of Saudi Arabia that the British put into power to dominate and control and re-engineer Islam. They are used all over the world. And when I point out they're used to take over part of Serbia and steal it for the globalist, then I get Muslims calling me going, how dare you support the Serbs? Look, I know I'm not a Serb, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not any of this. The facts are they sent al-Qaeda in to start the war. When the Serbs defended themselves in that southern area, they had a globalist bombardment of their country, including their infrastructure, with depleted uranium. I'm not a fan of Slobodan Milosevic, but the point is their country was industrializing, and compared to some of the neighbors, like Albania, was much more progressive. I'm not a fan of Muammar Gaddafi, but they've issued a ridiculous Interpol arrest warrant. Interpol is on record, even in mainstream news, running white slavery rings. Then idiots send me letters saying, what about black slavery? Doesn't it matter? Hey, if you're a moron and don't know what white slavery is, it's not white people. White slavery means sex slavery. Okay? Again, it's just, the problem is I have language, I have history, I have understanding, and I've got to remember, a lot of folks, again, have been set in front of television sets their whole life, and they don't even know what language is. They hear all this, and they think it's fancy pants talk or something. I mean, I'm here really expressing about as much truth as you're going to find anywhere, okay? I mean, I'm really someone who is seeking it, seeking the answers, seeking the secrets, seeking it, and I'm leaving. I found a lot, and it is painful to hear that level of ignorance. It is mind-numbing that they put al-Qaeda in and they're slaughtering tens of thousands of people, that's admitted, and murdering every black person they can get their hands on. And I got a lady calling in saying I'm bashing Muslims and claiming that they let the Muslims do 9/11. No, ma'am, I said that the hijackers were U.S. government agents who thought they were taking part in a drill and were set up. And we have real airphone calls that were made with multiple stewardesses saying, I can't breathe, there's gas. We actually pretty much know what happened. And in all a decade of work, a decade plus of work exposing it as an inside job before it even happened, and it all is just reduced to someone just ham-fistedly saying, you say they let 9/11 happen. You say the Muslim did it. It's like babyish. Like, there's no bad Muslims doing anything bad, and there's never Muslims that, you know, go on an Israeli bus and stab 14 people. It doesn't happen, Alex. You are Vatican. What? I'm not even Catholic. And then it's some known Israeli agent that's put out the story for 5 years. I work for the Vatican with no proof. The guy says that Catholic priests fly flying saucers and drop atomic bombs out of them with a black magic ritual. That's the people that make up all this stuff about me. You think I'm joking. I was sent a video clip of the person actually saying this. And by the way, the person's an operative. He knows full well what he's doing. The more asinine, the better, as Cass Sunstein said, to get us all fighting with each other. And this has been a great learning experience with this lady here, while all these other people hold listening to it. You get to hear just labels instead of complex, frustrating thought and understanding and enlightenment and nuanced understandings of history and intelligence and sociology and anthropology. You just call in and say, Alex Jones doesn't think 9/11 is an inside job. Alex Jones doesn't like Muslims. Alex Jones covers up for the Pope. That is incredible. That is amazing. But that has to be expected because we challenge people's thought processes. And so they're going to... It's also good for an ego for people. You can have somebody who works 18 hours a day tirelessly, changing the course of history together with my good activist listeners. And then other people could just say, I'm better than that. Alex is Pope, or he's CIA, or he's Reptoid. All right, we'll come back with more of your calls. Bob Chapman coming up. Stay with us.
Riders on the storm.
All right, I'm going to get to Bishop.
Riders on the storm.
Yah, Don, Sheldon, and others ahead of Bob Chapman joining us. But for that woman tuning in earlier, lady, it's fun to just get in fights with people. It's fun to hate on you and hear the straw man stuff you put out. But I actually understand that you think you've heard things that put Muslims in a bad light. But see, everything is about labels. I try to judge people individually. Okay? I've been a great friend to peaceful Muslims. I've really tried hard back when it was unpopular day one to stop the wars on these countries and millions of dead people. I've gone through death threats, you name it. And I've seen kind of the fake anti-Israel lobby that's government run attack anybody that reasonably criticizes Israel. And I've seen their operatives come out and say that I was for the attack on the flotilla that happened a while back. And I never said that. I said, if you think I work for Israel, you're mentally ill. Then it became, if you criticize Israel, you're mentally ill. And people even play the clip and then say it says one thing when it doesn't another. This is a new level of mind control. But I want to try to get through to you. If you'll just listen to me, if you'll just go online, you can watch it for free, or we want to support us, buy the DVD at Infowars.com. It's also in higher quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. And that's Terror Storm, a history government-sponsored terror. And I have copies of the CIA's own declassification and other news clips. But, I mean, it's public. Kermit Roosevelt wrote a book about it before it was declassified in 99, before he died. He was the deputy head of the CIA, head of foreign operations. And he was with the grandson of Teddy Roosevelt. And he, was it Franklin Delano? No, I think it was Teddy. They launched an attack and they went in and funded a radical Muslim sect to start blowing stuff up in Operation Ajax. And they also had some army folks they bought off do it. And then they blamed it on Mossadegh and said that he'd done it, the leader of Iran, and double-crossed him and threw him out of power. Then they double-crossed the extremist. I mean, if you don't know that they're putting the Muslim Brotherhood in charge in Egypt and getting rid of the old dictator who I was against, Mubarak, I mean, if you don't know that they're putting these Arab Wahhabist brigades in I mean, so many American Muslims, I hear them talk and see their videos on YouTube, and it's very childish. I mean, do you know that the Shiites and the Sunnis kill each other 24/7 and have absolute enmity against each other a lot more than the West. And you say the Muslims have no enmity for the West. Well, that's just not true. I mean, as a whole, there are large segments that do. And I think I have a lot of reasons to be upset. But you said that I say the Muslims hate the West. Well, there certainly are people that hate the West and have some reasons to for who runs the West. But I can also talk about some of the things they're doing that are bad. I have my free will. This isn't like some religion where I'm going to be beat in the head, and then agree with your view. I mean, you've got probably 10 different sects of, different subgroups of Muslims. 80%, roughly, are the group based in Saudi Arabia that's spread all over the world. Then you got about 18% that are Shiite. You got eight other sects or so that make up the other 2%. Okay, and they are constantly killing each other. This is human tribalism. They'll use any name, any excuse. Okay, so your statement that there's this one Islam and everybody's getting along is not true. Just like there's not one Christianity and everybody's getting along, okay? So you need to really educate yourself. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, let's go back to your phone call. Sorry to folks that I got off into that warren of argument for so long. Bishop in Illinois, you're on the air, Bishop. Thank you for holding.
Alex, the last time I talked to you was probably about 3 weeks after I started doing a talk show on an AM station. That was over 5 years ago I had you on.
Well, good to talk to you.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm still doing it strong and reporting and doing all kinds of things. But I wanted to talk about a couple of things you've brought up so far. And it's terrible to have to follow that past caller because you could go off on so many tangents, but media manipulation. I'm finishing up a master's degree, and I want to focus on the alternative media and the mainstream media and how they frame certain political activist groups. So I'm hoping in the future I can kind of touch base with you, because I do want to focus on InfoWars, Prison Planet, the Alex Jones Show as being an alternative media outpost, and how you frame political action versus how, say, Fox News frames political action.
So they frame everything in little limited boxes to basically shunt political movements like a river, diverting it away from real common sense into just a la-la land where they debate a bunch of minutia.
Right. And just listening to some of the callers earlier, somebody mentioned a 9/11 conspiracy theory, a film festival over in the Bay Area.
Yeah, why would they even call their event a conspiracy theory event? No, it's a... It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I'm right there with you. I turned the TV off weeks ago, or not weeks ago, but years ago. And now anything I see, even if it's online, you just look around, and if you can critically digest what you're seeing, you can see all those tricks. They become so clear.
Well, it's not even tricks. Once the big national print TV does this stuff long enough, it just becomes the language, and people copy the false language and baloney, not even knowing. And it just becomes second nature. That's what's so crazy.
But yeah, media manipulation, it's unbelievable, and it's all, agenda setting and how these particular things are framed. But I definitely want to be able to get a hold of you sometime in the very near future so I can interview you off the air, kind of get your feel for what your information outlet does for the alternative media. I'm also going to try to contact Democracy Now and talk with them and review some of the shows from, the alternative media and then also the mainstream media. But anyways, that aside, all this media manipulation, something else I wanted to contact you about was being able to help battle in this info war. Now, I know you've got so many listeners across the world, and a lot of them are media savvy, and a lot of them do have experience with maybe being news gatherers. You know, you've got Luke Radowski with We Are Change and the media they put together. And
he's a news maker because he does what the corporate prostitute media won't do. He goes and asks real questions like, hey, Gary Hart, you wrote a public letter saying the government stages terror attacks and threatening Iran to stage more if they don't submit. He's like, I didn't write that letter. And they go, here's the letter. And he goes, oh, I did write it. And suddenly he steps back and starts sweating. He goes, because then it's like a new rule. It's like they have these weird rules. Okay, you're a human, and then that's how they see it. You're not cattle. My little mind game didn't work. And he starts going, yeah, I did send the letter, but this is for high-level communication with government. They do need to know things will be done one way or another. And he started going, oh, yeah, we do stage him. It's in Truth Rising. He's... Oh God! They can actually know him. Oh God! I mean, it's for them when they do the mind game and they go, "I didn't write that letter." And they show it to him and he goes, "I didn't write it." And they look at him and he goes, "Okay, I did write it." And he steps back and goes, "I did write it." He just goes, "Whoa!" They got glasses; they can see. Okay, well, let me tell you why I did it. And suddenly he sees them as like giant 8,000-pound goblins. He's like, "I'm scared. What am I going to do? These people know I'm a terrorist." What's going to happen to me? All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Bob Chapman, your call's coming up. Tons of news. Stay with us. PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, if you're watching us on PrisonPlanet.tv, I know I've been talking about this since yesterday, but the poll has now closed out with over 200,005 votes, and it's geolocated. You can only vote once. Ron Paul got 57.8%, but now in this new Orwellian world, 14.3 is basically almost half of 57, even though in the real world it isn't. Now, they had it even more skewed a day ago, and they got caught when he had 20-something more points than Mitt Romney. It barely, on the graph, was a millimeter bigger. And so they've gone ahead and expanded it out some. I guess Ron Paul's defeating them so bad that their graph can't even go off the page. I mean, he's got 57.8% of the 100%, but we're told Bachman's a big leader with 1.8, Herman Cain with 3%, Newt Gingrich, you might as well elect Mao Zedong, has 4%, John Huntsman with 6, Rick Perry 12.1, Mitt Romney 14.3, and I can't believe my good friend last night went ahead and told me that he knew Rick Perry real well from a country club over many years when he was when he was agriculture secretary, and that Rick Perry was giving him anti-New World Order stuff. That makes it even worse, man. That's what I mean. That's what's so bad about Rick Perry, is that he knows all this stuff and has decided to sell out, but that he can also act like a patriot good because he used to be into it. I don't know. That really freaks me out. I wonder if the globalists like knowing that Rick Perry used to not like the New World Order. Because anybody with their head screwed on is not going to like the New World Order. I mean, it's a bad vision of humanity. It's not a nice place to go. These are some ugly, ugly-minded people. I want to go to Yah and Robert and Don and Sheldon. Who's been holding the longest? We're going to get to Yah and then Sheldon and Don. We'll get to everybody. Here today, Otter. But going to Bob Chapman, Bob, we've seen the stock market plunging today. We've seen gold shooting back up. And I forgot, Zero Hedge is reporting that the federal government Goldman Sachs people are saying, hey, we can have the government come in and reduce gold price. So this is a pretty stunning statement. If you weren't aware of that, I can dig it out and then read it to you and get your take. But, Bob, good to have you here with us.
Well, thank you very much. And I wouldn't expect anything else normally from Goldman Sachs or Citigroup or HSBC or JPM. Although a week ago, JPM said gold by the end of the year is going to $2,500 an ounce. And I think they said that because they thought it was going higher than that, and they hoped that their statement would keep it from going higher than that. These people are desperate. Well, Goldman Sachs comes out and says, well, you know, the government could sell gold. Well, the question is, where are they going to find it?
Aren't they in trouble on silver as well? I mean, how much real silver is there discovered and versus how much they're short on it?
Well, the U.S. government's been out of silver for 10 years. So they don't have any. I mean, that is an admitted fact. So they would have to go and have somebody lend it to them, or they would have to buy it. And if they bought it, they would make the price go up. So it's nothing but unfounded propaganda. And if it was going to affect the market, well, gee, the market's been all over the place today. I think it ended up 5 points. It's been flipping between 260 and 560 for the past 10 or 15 minutes on the plus side. And so there's plenty of action. They met their masters during this day. They tried to take it down. They couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. There's too many physical buyers in there. And as I said last week, we touched 1,800. We're going to go back up to 1,900 again. It'll probably take a week or so and test that into day 1928. And they'll break it. How long will it take? I don't know, a week or two, three, four, five, six. And then we get 2,000, 2,200. Then what are they going to do then? Come out and say, well, we're going to take all of the gold out of everybody's fillings and we're going to sell it into the market. I mean, that's how stupid it is.
Well, they keep, as you know, two times in the last few months raised the margin. You know, how much money you have to put down to be in there manipulating it, and that's barely put the brakes on, only for a short period, then it raises back up. But Zero Hedge, great inside sources, and this is up at Infowars.com, but in this case, they're just linking directly to their insiders that leak them. Well, Goldman Sachs last week was saying internally to their big investors, we believe a total implosion's coming, go ahead and sucker the public like they did with Timberwolf. You know, these people are scum, we're going to get them. You know, hey, did you feel the earthquake? Yeah, it was my wallet hitting the ground. Ha, ha, ha. But here's the headline. Goldman Sachs head gold trader. Authorities could intervene to slam down price of gold. From Goldman's head gold trader, Zach Dabalia. And it goes through the quotes to say the source of this flow seems hard to pin down, with some speculating over whether authorities were concerned with the signals of an accelerating gold price and its impact on other fragile markets, are exposing their paper markets. However, official sector activity with the PWM is already using this latest dip to reaccumulate, and it may be the case that the market is already close to clean positions at even higher prices. Despite the much higher volume, we are happy to own short date 1-2 MTH high stakes, more than flat price positions in the current environment. And then it goes on to talk about the government stepping in to try to suppress it. What does all this coded babble mean?
Nothing. It is babble. And they don't have any gold. And if they do, they're not going to use it to try to manipulate the market. They're just not going to do it. And so, you know, it's a big secret. No audits since 1954. So we don't know what they've got. Are they going to do, borrow it from Germany, or did they already sell that off? We never heard whether they gave Germany delivery. That was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, and what about Chavez demanding his 144 tons out of England?
What's that?
What about Chavez demanding his gold from England?
Well, I thought that was a good idea by Mr. Chavez, and hopefully he'll get delivery. It'll be interesting to see if he does, because if he doesn't, that means they don't have the gold to deliver, and they'll have to go find it someplace. Either that, they'll try to play him in dollars, and he's going to say, I don't want dollars. I want my gold. Now go get it.
And it is the dictator's gold. I guess the dictator wants it from the, he can say he's been elected, but he's chicaned that position. You know, Chavez beating the free trade area, the Americans and stuff, that was an example of a blind hog finding acorns, but overall he is more and more cracking down, and I've talked to folks that are in Venezuela. They say that his communism is just destroying the country. So it's an example of the bankers are rotten and horrible, and Chavez is rotten, But I guess in a way, you know, he's less rotten because he's not putting cancer viruses in our vaccines like the globalists are. What do you think of the whole Muammar Gaddafi situation? They keep saying they're going to kill him, they're going to kill him, they're going to kill him. But now they admit, notice Libya's left the front pages, and they admit now the rebels don't have a bunch of the cities, and it's just a horrible civil war, 30-plus thousand dead. Quite a humanitarian intervention, Bob.
Yeah, another one. You know, they keep on bettering themselves all the time in their effort to relieve the people from the earth, or the useless eaters, as they call them. I noticed nothing has been said about the gold. We were told the other day that in the process of the last 6 months that Mr. Gaddafi had sold 12 tons of gold. Well, he had a lot more than that. The question is, where is it? We don't know. We haven't been told. Did he take it to Algeria with him? Is he really in Algeria?
Well, undoubtedly, he wouldn't be able to transport all that, so I'm sure the rebels have gotten large caches of it, and we'll never hear where that went either. Into some politicians' hands, undoubtedly. This is just rape and rapine going on at an expanded level. Bob, I wanted to bring up another issue. This is old news for us, but you know, we've always known that the euro was meant to take over countries, get them into debt through fraud, take over the ministers, implode them into a greater, more dictatorial union. But they're going right to the end game and saying it's a financial union run by banks, no more power for the countries, fully conquered. The country's being conquered by the Ponzi scheme operators that induce their leaders to sign on to their debt. So, I mean, this is wild. You pay off the leaders to sign on to your debt, and then you become the dictatorial rulers and take everybody's pension funds for yourself. This is just incredible, and raise all these new VAT taxes. And now they're just all over the talking point. Yes, there's going to be a new financial order, and it's going to kind of merge with the new American order. I mean, they're going right to this banking authority, not with a bang, but with a whimper, Bob. Where do you
they're
see
going
that?
For everything, and it's brazen and arrogant. They don't care what you think. They're telling you we're going to steal everything you've got. And I think the German people may stop them. It'll be interesting to see if they can get this legislation passed to continue to fund the bailout for these countries that are insolvent or close to being so. And if that passes, I would think that there would be some pretty nasty things going on in Germany, like demonstrations and riots. And I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't try to assassinate some of the members of the Bundestag, which would have okayed this legislation. It's a pretty hot topic there.
Yeah, stop and, right there. Stop right there. I want to come back to break and get you to elaborate on this because it's so central. I'll tell the story when we come back. It's just when I was driving home Tuesday night, I shot a video about it. I listened to five different speakers on Bloomberg all say the same thing. And they actually said, I'll tell you what they said when we come back with Bob.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.
Okay, your calls are coming up in the next segment. We're back with Bob Chapman. I want to get into all the 9/11 fear-mongering with Bob. Bob, they have now run at least 10 TV ads, and we're seeing them now air on the different television sets we've got here around the office. We've recorded some. Got a new report coming out later by Paul Watson on it. They've now got at least 10 ads. Well, some of them aren't even ads. They're like little mini TV shows, 10, 15 minutes long, depending on which one. But some are only about 30 seconds long, a minute long, where you'll have 50 terrorists in one 15-minute show, and one person's not white who's a terrorist. All the people reporting the terrorist are quote, minorities. And then now I've seen a whole bunch of other ads where all the terrorists are white, and everyone reporting them is a minority. This is 100% naked in our face to completely rebrand, okay, the brown people are the terrorist. That was the earlier branding. But we're going to not profile. We're going to stick our hands down everybody's pants to know it's now the Tea Partiers. and you've got the vice president, all these others saying the Tea Partiers are terrorists, they're going to kill us. So I see a prime mover. In fact, I need to get Kurt Nemo or somebody to do a story on this. This came out 3 days ago, 4 days ago. This came actually on 9-6. It's 9-9 right now. That on Memorial Day, Labor Day, Monday, the police tried to smuggle huge kegs of plastic explosives through Terminal 4. And then once they got through, of course, they're supposed to use inert explosives in drills in test. Then it was, quote, stolen. I mean, number one, they don't use real explosives in drills. Number two, what's the chances of the explosives being stolen? This just means somebody got wise that it wasn't a drill. They were trying to get it on the aircraft. This is the standard way to do it. They pick a name on the plane that sounds like they can sell it. They plant something on the Patsy's computer after they raid their house or even beforehand, you know, after they've died in the suicide bomb or after they've got them in custody. And they blow an aircraft up. And I think this Phoenix Police Admit Mistake and Stolen Explosives case is that. And they could have been a Tea Party or you name it. But this article is big. Here it is. Explosives stolen from Phoenix Airport have been found, police say. Police recovered a potentially dangerous container of explosives stolen during a training exercise at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. Authorities, not servants, said the missing cooler was found Monday morning when a motorist in Phoenix spotted the container on the side of the road and alerted police. A bomb squad with the Phoenix Police Department, oh, the same folks that did it with the feds, called folks that did it, was called to the scene and determined that the items inside the container had not been tampered with. And it goes on to say, and there's images of the bombs in another article, plastic explosives. I mean, Bob, hey, why would they be trying to ship real plastic explosives through the airport onto a plane, A? And then B, statistically, that cooler gets stolen and then ends up on the side of the road. Did their Patsy get wise and just get rid of it?
That's a hard call because was there a Patsy? And also, if they want to get it through the airport, they have no problem doing so. Because of the police. So I think it was just a setup, and probably the suspect will be a member of the Tea Party. What else?
Oh, I get it. They'll claim that a Tea Partier stole the government's bombs. Because I mean, clearly they don't, you know, real explosives in a thing, and then they get stolen and then left on the side of the road. It's just the reason I actuary in, and the prime thing that pops up is, you know how they say, oh, you're part of a drill, and they blow you up on a train, and it turns out there's a drill of it happening, the exact thing. Or 9/11, they think they're part of a drill to see if they alert air marshals that are in test. And we know that's what happened there, at least how they set up the decoys. I mean, that's what I see here is that somebody got wise and something happened.
And, you know, when they have exercises, they don't use live or C4 or something like that. I mean, they use dummies.
Yeah, well, or they have something that looks like a bomb and put a little residue on it to test the sniffers. You don't have a big keg of plastic explosives. I mean, these people make me want to throw up.
I mean, the things that they do are so dumb. You know, it's not only the local law enforcement, but the federal government as well. The stories that come up with are just mind-blowing. It's dumb. It's just another effort, I think, to make people think that there's some real terrorists out there who might have intercepted what the government was doing or what the police were doing. I mean, there's a lot of angles to this. It's hard.
Yeah, the police could have stopped the feds. That's another point. But then the cops, that's what I said earlier, don't want to get busted for doing the right thing, so they just stick it on the side of the road. Okay, if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, I want to direct you to look at the screen. We've got this great work of David Dees up there. He puts out fake magazine covers occasionally to illustrate the absurdity of this insane world. And on the cover of the magazine, this is on the right-hand bottom corner of Infowars.com, if you want to go look at it, it's Sheeple Magazine, Land of the Fee, Home of the Slave. And it's the August-September 2011 edition. The beautiful sheeple, fat, poor, and loving it. It goes on to say 9/11, 10 years of not asking questions. Other part of the issue, Japan, a little radiation can't hurt. Libya slaughtered, NATO drops bombs of peace. And then above that, the big magazine cover is a frog in a boiling pot with blue flame under it saying, slowly increasing the heat, don't worry, he won't jump out until it's too late. Under that, it then says, police state, 400 taser deaths in U.S., chemtrails, fluoride, MSG, GMOs, mandatory toxic vaccines for babies. That is a really good magazine, and that's actually how it should read. I thought I'd add here, ladies and gentlemen, that Midas Resources has brokers there on the weekend as well, and there's a whole laundry list of Buffaloes, American Eagles, Franks, British Sovereigns, where you can call and say, I want the radio special, and you'll get the prices from the last big dip. If not, it's very competitively priced, extremely competitively priced already at Midas Resources. You can give them a call at 800-686-2237. You got to tell them it's the Alex Jones radio special, and they'll read you a long list of specials. They've got specials like $2 silver with the shipping included for $88. Now, that's already a great deal. Okay, you can't get $2 silver anywhere for $88. It's very hard. And that's shipping included. Then you get a free book, Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True, big, thick, excellent read by Mark Dice. And then on top of it, American Dream, 35-minute animated film about the history of the bankers that anybody would watch. It's extremely entertaining, great for sheeple. The info is awesome, but it's really, it's amazing. So get the DVD and get the book free. $88 and $2 silver. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Also, don't forget on Infowars.com, we've got the Save the Republic Ron Paul 2012 t-shirts. On the back, it says Legalize Freedom, Infowars.com. So it's a nice Ron Paul, Alex Jones, Infowars.com variant shirt. And then another one that's my favorite. When fascism goes to sleep, it looks under the bed for Ron Paul. That's on the front and Infowars.com. On the back. I actually forget what's on the back. Will you click on it for me? And we've got the camouflage, Don't Tread on Me, InfoWars shirt, hats that I love, the Liberty or Death snake version. We've got it all. I got good eyes, but not that good. Yeah, it just says Ron Paul. Or what does it say? I still can't see it. RonPaul2012InfoWars.com. Thank you so much. So that's all available at InfoWars.com. As well. And don't forget, I'll be on tonight, 7 o'clock. Aaron's been spending a week putting together the 10 smoking guns of 9/11. It's going to be about a 10-minute report tonight in the 30-minute report. I'm going to keep it to 30 minutes tonight. Richard Gage is joining us, and I got a bunch of other news, of course, at the very start of it. And we've done a field report. They're finishing up going out and interviewing people on the street about 10 years later. So tonight, InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. Going back to Bob Chapman. Hey, Bob, is that a good deal? And I want your honest view on this. I know we have another special. You get a Frank at, I forget, it's a very low price. Check today's price. And then you get a free subscription to the International Forecaster for a year. That's also one of the other specials at 800-686-237. But how good of a deal is $2 silver for $88 with shipping, a book, and a DVD on top?
It's probably underpriced by 50%.
But we're bad.
In other words, if you went and bought it, you'd pay twice as much.
But we're still bad, though, because we told folks buy silver at $5. And now it's, where is silver right now?
Oh, it's $41.44 off $1.09, and gold's off $5.40 right now.
It's been shooting up and down as it as the stuff ping-pongs. So, I don't know, folks.
Well, that's the government trying to knock it down, and the physical buyers from China and India and other countries, they're in there buying what they think is very cheap gold and silver.
Well, remember, gold, until they devalued their currency or attempted to this week, gold's gotten cheaper in Switzerland in the last 5 years. I mean, it's the dollar devaluation that's causing this, correct? Gold isn't really going up, is it, Bob?
You might put it that way, yes. But the Switzerland has kept even, but there's been some years out of the last 11 that they have fallen behind the price of gold. If you take the nine major currencies and each year you compare them with the prices of gold or silver, then you'll find that both gold and silver are up more than 20% each year against those nine currencies. But within that nine currency structure, the Swiss franc has done the best. But I don't know about the future. You know, they're pegging the thing at 120, which means it can't go any higher. So I would think that people who might have gone since they made that fix, so to speak, and in the future, they probably would have been buying gold instead.
But my point is, I get emails saying, well, gold's, you know, almost $1,900. You know, it's too late to get it. Well, when it was 265, was it too late? When it was 400, was it too late? When it was 800, 1,000, 1,200, 1,500, 1,600, 1,700, 1,800, 1,900? I mean, when it's 3,000, will it be too late to get it? Because they're devaluing the dollar. People are like, why is it so much? And I'm like, the dollar is being devalued. And because they're signaling they're going to devalue it further, people are trying to get a hedge. And now it's not even becoming a hedge. It's becoming, I mean, I was even listening to Bloomberg, and they had all these top financial experts who usually are busy lying all day. And they were talking about 5,000, 3,000. They were debating, will it be 5,000 in a year or 3,000? Look, I don't know. I'll be happy if gold's 1,500 bucks in a year. I don't buy it as an investment. I buy it as a backup because these currencies cannot be trusted. But my gut tells me and history tells me, you know, next year sometime we're going to be looking at 2,500. Now, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, what they're saying 2,500 this year. Whatever. The point is I've never sold a stinking piece of silver or gold I've bought, Bob. And gold could go up to 10,000 tomorrow. I'm not selling it because I'm not going to cash the gold in for more fiat garbage. When this all planes out and something new comes out and it starts over, I know my gold is going to save my investment versus losing it in hyperinflation. So I know I'm better off. Is it perfect? No. But we've been totally correct. And it's been the smart move, the only move. And then we get attacked and criticized. It's like saying, this guy told me to buy stock in Ford Motor Company, you know, for 2 cents a share, and it went up to 20 bucks a share a year later. It's a bad deal. This guy told me to, you know, buy stock in Apple, before it went up 400%. I hate him. This guy told me not to walk in front of a train. He's scum. I mean, is it just that some people are mad, Bob, that they didn't get into gold and silver, and so they've still, I mean, because I've had family, I've told you the story, extended family laugh at me that I'm right about gold. It's like, ha-ha, you've had 5, 6, 7, 8-fold increase when everybody else hasn't. You're crazy! And I'm like, okay, are you mentally ill? I don't even say that. I just go, yes. How are those mashed potatoes? You know, it's, yes. I'm crazy, yes. I mean, what is this?
Well, it tells you a lot about people, and if they don't think it can happen and they don't act on it, then they don't talk about it. But if it goes up and you did it and you said it was going up, they will attack you because you've been right. It's just like the guy who is a great star in whatever field he's in, and everybody wants to knock him down. It's part of human nature. I mean, I was one of the top stockbrokers in the world. I mean, it was endless, the attacks. And I still get them as a writer. And I just ignore them. I get too busy, scheduled, and too much to do that's positive to listen to that garbage.
Yeah, and it's not the criticism I mind, Bob. It's that I feel sorry for them. But I guess losers like to try to pull other people down. I just don't get it. When I see somebody successful and they've done it through hard work, I admire them, and I feel good that humanity's doing well. You know, I think more and more, and I want your view, and we're going to calls on this, Bob, that you can break people into 50 different groups if you want, or 1,000, or 5 different groups. But at the end of the day, there's 2 groups. There's destructive people that hate other humans and don't like others being successful, whether they're successful or not successful. They just don't like it. And then there's people that like goodness and success and are optimistic and believe we can succeed and like seeing other people do good. Because I remember being a kid and being shocked that people would be jealous that I was really good looking when I was younger. Or they would get really jealous when I came into a restaurant with a beautiful woman. And I don't understand that, you know, people versus folks that like you because you're good looking or smart or whatever. And then there's others who hate you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. I've experienced it. I've known people for 20 or 30 years. And all of a sudden, they become insanely jealous of me. And it's very disheartening because, you know, fundamentally, you like the people, but people change because they say what you just said. How can he be so successful? How can he be right all the time? How can he be so good looking? And so, just like you've stated here. But that doesn't make up much of the population, I don't think. I think maybe at the very outside, it might be 15%.
I agree, but the media is trying to make people artificially like that.
Could be. Could very well be. Any sort of discontent is what they like. Mm. Anything. I mean, look at divorces. And then you have children. I mean, I coached for 35 years. Almost every team I had of 12 kids, 8 didn't have one parent or the other.
And they do that to their children.
For a long time.
And I've been studying
it. Government likes that because it makes the people dependent on government, not on mom or dad.
Yeah, and they sell it. I've been studying, and I'm not blaming women, but if you look at it, women are sold now that it's really cool to get divorced, and they're the boss, and they rationalize when children are 4 to 3 times, depending on which actuary, likely to end up on drugs, in prison, ruined lives if they're divorced. And it's like, and some men are bad and leave too, but I mean, do you agree with my statement that more and more women just think it's really cool to get a divorce?
Yes, I do. And there's another factor here. I heard from a lot of young men and men under 50, especially in their 30s, that haven't been married. They'll run into someone who hasn't been married either. And they'll get married, and they'll have a couple of children, and the wife will say, I don't think I want to live with you anymore. And then what happens, you find out that the woman, from the time she was perhaps 16 until she was 30, only had lesbian relationships. There's a lot of that going on.
And they're just using you to have the kid and then pay them child support. You notice women don't have to pay it in most cases. They sit there, they get your kids, and they like it, and they love it. And the kids are all screwed up, and society's collapsing, but they don't care because the women shows and the TV tell them they're winning. And they love it. Just it's so scientific. How Hitler said, first.
Well, I've seen it firsthand, and on the other side of the coin, the life of the male involved gets all messed up as well, and usually he doesn't want to get married again because of the dreadful experience that he had. You know, you come home, and there's your wife and her girlfriend in the kitchen, and they're kissing.
And they say, hey, your money's mine, pal. Get out of here. By the way, we're going to shoot the kids up with... And then the women even like it when the kids get an illness from the vaccine. Then they get to take them and hook them all up with the wires and get attention when the kid dies. Just a real sick society.
You said it, and it's not only in America, it's in other places as well.
Well, Hitler said...
That's why society's so volatile today. That's why you see the demonstrations and the rioting throughout the world. Yes, they're frustrated, but the cohesion of society, all societies, is not what it was, say, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, which is nearby, because the government has destroyed, deliberately, the family unit.
Unbelievable. Let's take some calls. Yah in Colorado, you're a champion holder there. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Yesah.
Okay, I'm sorry. They only had the, they had it broken in two. So go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to make two comments and ask you a question. My first comment was about that woman caller. You shouldn't have paid her any mind. She didn't have any idea what she was talking about. She said she listened to you for 6 years, but obviously she hasn't been. And if even if she did disagree with you, I disagree with you, but on 5% of what you say. But that's not the major deal. It's about the big things we agree on. We should agree on that they're trying to kill us.
Yes.
And that should be the biggest point of it all.
Yeah, why do we make it about Alex Jones or Yasab or Bob Chapman? This is about the globalists are attacking everybody. They don't care if you're Christian, Muslim, atheist. The New World Order is jacking with the food and the water of everybody. They're playing God, and we're all fighting with each other.
Exactly. That's my whole point. We're fighting. That's how they get us. We have a disagreement on one little thing, and then we're fighting with it. And then I don't like you, and I don't like you for this reason. But they're still doing the same thing. They're killing us. And people need to understand that. My second point is, all, like I said, 9/11, and they're killing us in any kind of way and taking our freedom away. And these Christians don't understand what they have. They think they have to stand down because they think they're going to get raptured. But they don't realize in history, in for 1,800 years, most theologians and people that believe in the scriptures, they knew that the rapture was going to happen at the end when all the tribulation was over.
A five-year-old could read that. It says when the angel comes and grabs the devil and puts him in the pit, that's when the dead in Christ rise. A five-year-old can understand that. You're absolutely right.
Exactly. And it was a British evangelist, John Nelson Darby, that started that in the 1900s.
Yep.
So people, they need to search research and do their history. And another question, my question
All right,
is,
I want you to finish. This is a great call. We'll do 5 minutes overdrive with Bob so we can get to Don, Sheldon, Otter, Robert. We'll get to everybody, but quickly finish. Call her when we come back, and we'll get Bob Chapman's take on this.
Big John. Big John.
By the way, if you want to get the truth out about 9/11 and help fund our operation, you can get four of our 9/11 films for $19.95. We're only running this special till next Friday, and I never even plugged it. It's been up for a few weeks. You can get 9/11 Chronicles, excellent. Martial Law, that's almost 3 hours long. 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, and The Masters of Terror for $19.95 at Infowars.com. Okay, real fast, going back to the caller in Colorado. I don't want to mispronounce your name. You said Yasab. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Yasab. Yasab, because they had it, Y-A-H-S-O-B, go ahead and finish your point.
Okay, let me just finish about the Christians. If they think they, or the state Christians, if they think they're going to make it to heaven for not standing up for what's right and what's righteous, they're sadly mistaken. Okay, going back to the question, I have a question to ask. Do you know anything about the King Alfred plan?
King Alfred plan, Chapman.
Don't know. Never heard it.
It rings a bell with me, but I can't remember what it is. Go ahead, caller. Tell us what it is.
It's basically about how they're going around the world and killing up all the colored people. But then they revised it in the Rex 84 about how they're going to do in America with all the black people. They put the Hispanics on there, too.
No, I was aware of the King Alfred plan. Yeah, no, it's admitted. The King Alfred plan was a fictional CIA-led scheme supporting an international effort to eliminate people of African descent. Specifically, it defined how to deal with the threat of black uprising in the United States. The plan first appeared in John A. Williams' novel, The Man Who Cried, I Am, a fictionalized account. But again, it goes into the fact that it was probably something mirroring real plans like Rex 84. Bob, any comments?
No, now that you speak of it, I've heard of the plan, but I really don't know much about it.
All right, sir, I got to jump and get to a few other people. Good to hear from you. Okay, let's, I just lost my phone list, I tell you. This computerized phone system drives me insane. John, who's up next there? Don in Michigan. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hey, Don.
Was that Don in Michigan?
Yep, that's you, buddy.
Oh, okay, it broke up. I'm sorry. Hey, real quick, I know you're running short on time, and I don't mean to keep addressing Nina, but I want to let her know that a couple people that scare me more than her virgin husband or her people or whatever she wants to call them is John McCain and Joe Lieberman. Any persons, including a U.S. Citizen, can be detained for the duration of a conflict, the Enemy Belligerent Act. So the hair would stand up on my neck more running into John McCain at 7-Eleven than it would her husband.
Well, that's right. They try to scare us with the Muslims and then try to put in these laws to just have us disappear into a dungeon. And the government says they can do that. Obama says that.
Right. And then I'm trying to be really quick because I know you're running out of time. But another point I want to make was, do you want a pretty doctor to give surgery to your three-year-old, or do you want somebody with an excellent record? And my point there is, do you want somebody with pretty hair like Romney or Perry, or do you want Ron Paul with a perfect record? I'm going to pick Ron Paul with a perfect record to take care of my kid.
Exactly. I want the specialist who has the best record of success, not the little cutesy doctor. That's what you check for, and that's I'm going to steal that analogy. Did you come up with that? Because that is very effective to say, hey, if you're going to a doctor, it isn't about looks, it's about their record. And Ron Paul's got a perfect record.
Now, if I'm scared to death that my kid might be in danger, and I'm going to go look at their histories, I'm going to look at the best doctor, and I'm going to say, I don't care if you look like an ogre. but one last thing, because I'm trying to be really quick, because I know you're so short. Another idea for getting out the information. One thing I do, I've given out about 1,000 DVDs. And now that I've given them out to a lot of people I know, what I do is I just get the paper sleeves. They're cheap. Write the name of the DVD, write Infowars.com. And on the paper sleeve, write, Fate Had You Find It. Curiosity Will Have You Watch It. Leave it laying on a newspaper box, a park bench, a bench outside of a store.
You're an awesome caller. I'm out of time for the official transmission. See you back Sunday, 4 to 6. We're going to come back for 5 minutes and finish up on Internet only. See you tonight, 7. Okay, we're in overdrive. Take a few final calls. Appreciate everybody holding. Sheldon in Wisconsin, you're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Jones. I have a quick question for you. Besides the Orly Pates and the Larry Sinclairs, is there anybody out here who has tried to file a lawsuit for impeachment for Mr. Santoro? And then one question for Mr. Chapman.
Sure, Phil Berg has tried, and the courts basically throw it all out. And I tell you, I'm just going to tell you, his uncle that's the illegal alien and all that looks nothing like him. His dad looks nothing like him. And the intel I've got from Wayne Madsen, who, again, is a big liberal. He's not bashing Obama because he doesn't like him because he's black or whatever, is that he's basically his dad is a part Hispanic, part black guy from Cuba. But I mean, you can just look at it. His dad is not his dad. And even the and after I heard this years later, the State Department came out and they had to release the documents that at major universities, his dad got kicked out for getting a bunch of women pregnant, and then it was fake, and then he had fake marriages with women that had other husbands. And I'm sorry, your question for Bob Chapman.
But just to piggyback on what you were saying, Mr. Santoro just got caught, I believe, a few weeks ago filing income taxes with an invalid Social Security number. I mean, for that and along with the murder of Donald Young, is there anybody who have any testicles to go to the Supreme Court like Orly Pates and Mr. Sinclair to file impeachment hearings on Mr. Santoro? Now, Mr. Chapman, Iran and Syria, is there anything movement going on with World War III? I know that Gaddafi is trying to pay off something with his gold that he has stored. I just want to know if Mr. Jones, if you can finish up on my first question.
Sure. Let's get Bob's take on that. Bob?
Well, I don't have anything further than what everybody else has. And I think that they would like to have a war in the Middle East on their timetable. And what they went after Gaddafi for was everything that they had in the country there, and which was extensive. And what's going to happen to him, I don't know.
Oh, we know it's bad news. Good to hear from you, Sheldon. Great points. Otter in Mass, last caller. Sorry to the others, Jared and Aaron and others. Go ahead, Otter.
Can you hear me?
Yes. How are the dams going?
Yes, quickly, I know. Three quick things. Blessings, question, and quote. Your family, you, your friends, your circle, your crew, guest contributors, Ron Paul, of course, all in the hearts of many of us. And this comes from First Nation. I want to throw in Russell Means in there as well. You've spoken of him recently.
Yeah, we've been trying to get him on really, really hard. He's, you know, he's in bad shape. Folks need to pray with him. Esophageal cancer, it's spread all over his body.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching the sites. The question, I've heard you a number of times say 9 states, now 12, with the arrests of people video and taping police in public. Is Massachusetts one of them? Because I've never heard the list.
I've seen the list and I can't remember. I know it's like Maryland, Illinois, Connecticut. I think it may be Mass.
Got an article here from the Vineyard Gazette from yesterday, the 8th September. Tisbury police officer led Caleb Bacon away in handcuffs. 20-year-old, I'm sorry, for unlawful wiretapping. They do have a companion article, First Amendment to Protect Wiretapping. And, of course, it talks what we talked about, the Circuit Court of Appeals.
Yeah, I know. Pennsylvania is one of them, too. We're out of time, sir, but thank you so much. We'll talk to you this Sunday, or I'll see you tonight at 7. But Bob Chapman, in closing, what do you think of the police trying to put a guy in jail for life for filming him?
Well, I think it is another one of these instances where they continue to harass the public, to bring them into line and to make them do the things that they want to do. That's what that's all about, control.
Yes, sir. God bless you, Bob. We'll see you next Friday, Lord willing.